think the world's falling apart, but I think it really is falling in place, and there's no need to doubt him now.
Looking back through the years, the heartache and tears, the Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand, still I'll trust in his plan. For he said that his grace would abound. And there's no need to doubt him now. Has brought me, there's no need to doubt him now.
Child of God, have no fear, though your path seems unclear. Someday God's plan will unfold. He has never, never failed. He will always prevail. Our Lord has it under control. And there's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me. There's no need to doubt him now. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me. There's no need to doubt him now.
He's coming soon, and one of these days we're going to leave it all behind us. I look forward to this day.
I've had my days of laughter in the sunshine, felt peace and contentment in my soul. But before the day had passed, my heart would be heavy. I'd have tears in my eyes, my head bowed low. 'Cause that's just how it is in Satan's Eden. Each day brings new heartache, pain and woe. Oh, but my Lord has gone to build for me a city, and I've never been this homesick to go. Oh, someday we'll leave it all behind us. Oh, someday we'll walk this way no more. Somewhere it's called the sweet forever, and someday we'll step unto that shore. This world for me has lost all its attractions. There's not much left to make me want to stay. Oh, the pull from the other side is stronger, and it keeps getting stronger every day. About this,
could it be that they're gathering by the river to welcome me across the raging tide? Oh, then I'll leave this world and I'll never look behind me, for it's by the throne of God I will reside. Someday we'll leave it all. sway no more.
Somewhere
it's called the sweet forever, and someday we'll step onto that shore, and someday we'll step onto that shore.
We're going to leave it all behind one day. I just hope I can take a few of my deer mounts with me. But anyway, I have to decorate my mansion, so figured maybe so. What do you think? Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here again. And Dr. Coral and Dr. Angel, it's a great privilege and honor to be here. And I want to thank Faith Baptist Church for all your kindnesses down through the years and Love Ground Ministries, and being a blessing to us and sharing your preacher with us for all these years. We've been retired now for 2 years, and just about, and we only had a few days off. In fact, we've been in Texas since January, just got back a few days ago. Went by our home in Iowa. I was preaching in Kansas, just came through this week. That's the first time we've been home in 6 months. Kim was here dealing with her sick father here in Illinois. And so she won't get back to October, which we left in November 18th of last year. So, So she'll be home. Yeah, that's crazy. And when you travel that much, you don't know where you're at anymore. Some of you guys that travel, you know, you wake up in a motel and go, "Where am I? Am I right about it, Doc?" You go, "Where am I? I don't know what state I'm in. But she'll be home for the first time in 11 months. Living like a bunch of gypsies out of a suitcase, but anyway. But I count it a privilege, and it's a joy, of course, to be here tonight with Dr. Smith, the man I was saved under. And he's been dealing with his precious wife now for this long time, and just told me that this is his first time out, except one time this year. So I'm certainly glad that he was able to get, I guess Karen moved in and helping at home now, his daughter, and she lost her husband recently, so she's moved home to help Mrs. Smith, and of course, Brother Smith, so he could travel some, so I'm certainly glad that he's here. Don't ever forget those who've influenced you, the shoulders that you're standing on. So I always brag on my preachers, always, because they helped me when I was a puppy. And I appreciate them putting something in me. I'll never forget that. The base ingratitude that we have in this generation is phenomenal. But anyway, I love them and appreciate them. Well, you know, I'll read this to you. The other day, I went downtown, run a few errands. I went to a local coffee shop for a snack. I was only there about 5 minutes, and when I came out, there was this cop writing a parking ticket, and I said, "Come on, man. How about giving a retired person a break?" He ignored me and continued to write the ticket. His sensitivity annoyed me, so I called him a Nazi. He just glared at me and then wrote another ticket and for worn tires, and then I proceeded to call him a donut-eating Gestapo, and then he wrote a second ticket, put it on the windshield with the first, and then he wrote a third one, and I called him a moron in blue, and he just kept writing tickets for the next 20 minutes, putting them on the windshield. The more I talked, the more tickets he wrote. Personally, I didn't care because I took a bus to town. The car that he was putting the tickets on had a little bumper sticker that said Biden Harrison 2024. I try to do a little bit every day. Since I've retired, the doctor said it's good for my health. John chapter 6 in your Bibles, please. John chapter 6. Looking forward to hearing Brother Smith. I'll just preach a little ditty and get out of the way. And I've been struggling. I've never struggled this much about what to preach. I have one on the enemy within, and it's obvious that we have an enemy within. I could preach that, I actually had this prepared for last year for this meeting, and God changed my mind. I never preached it, so this is going to be the first time, but we'll see how it goes. It doesn't matter. I just want to get out of the way and let Brother Smith preach a little while. It's a marvelous thing to be able to open the Word of God and preach, and we count it a privilege, and I hope that you'll listen very carefully. If you can stand, please. If you cannot, don't worry about it. The older I get, the harder it is for me to stand. Brother Green, you can be seated. No. Verse 1, if you would, please. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover of the feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them that himself knew, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, and as much as they would. I want you to watch verse 12, if you would, please. When they were filled, said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I want to speak a little bit on that subject tonight, if you just hear me. Just kind of pull that phrase out, and I hope I don't do injustice to the scriptures. I'm not going to preach it in context, but I want to pull that little statement out, if you would please. Gather fragments that nothing shall remain. Father, I pray that you would help, dear God, tonight just for a little while. I've never preached this before, Lord, and I want to be a help and a blessing to these that are here. Dear Lord, I certainly need you tonight. Spirit of God, I pray that you would anoint me and use me, unctionize me tonight. May somebody get a hold of this truth, this simple principle I'll preach. I pray you'd bless Lord Brother Smith as he comes in just a bit, as we prayed for this meeting now for several months. I pray, dear God, that you would anoint it. May you help somebody, some preacher and some layman, Lord, just to get over the hump, to understand that this is forever. And one day soon, very soon, we're going to hear the trump of God. All these things that are happening in our midst are for a reason. We understand it all pretty much, Lord, and just within a short order, we're going to be face to face with thee. I pray that, Lord, you'd bless this simple message now by this simple messenger in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. We are very blessed in America to be a land of plenty. We have everything in the world that we need. We have more than enough for everything. Some of us that have traveled to third world countries, we understand very clearly that when we get back to America, we understand just how blessed we are to be here. When I was a boy, our family had 7 in it. And, of course, we raised chickens and pigs and beef cattle. And Daddy had a huge garden. I remember it very distinctly because I had to weed it, which I despised. I had 4 sisters, and I was the only guy, so I was the only one to weed the garden. But I always asked him, I said, Daddy, why in the world do you have to have such a big garden? He said, well, son, people in the area here need to eat. He said, we're going to try to supply them. I remember in his last days, he couldn't stand, so he would crawl. And Brother Green, you remember him. He'd on his hands and knees, he had planted his garden on his hands and knees. I remember distinctly Marie went out, his second wife after my mother died, went out to help him in the garden, and she fell. And Daddy was too weak to pick her up. And he had one of them little scooters that you have that drive around. And he couldn't pick her up. So I said, what'd you do, Daddy? He said, I just grabbed her. He said, and hit the gas button, drug out like a dead deer. All right, Dad, no problem. How about 911? You ever tried that one, Dad? But anyway. But a big family, we always had, my Cajun mother would always cook big meals, and there was always leftovers. And to me, sometimes the leftovers were the best. In our Bible story here, we have the Lord feeding the multitude and having the disciples distributing the loaves and the fishes. The Lord, not willing that any should perish, told his disciples to gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Think about that for just a moment. And as I thought on this subject in the statement by our Lord, I thought of the fragments that I have known and have been gathering that none would be lost. I think about those that gave their whole lunch to our Lord as a young person. From a child, they have known the Holy Scriptures and gave their whole life to the Lord. All of us preachers are here. We have preached it before that we want our young people to live right and do right and marry right and never go into sin. They give their whole lunch to the Lord so he can take it as a whole. They've never gone into deep sin. They've never had that, and we desire that for all of our young people. I'm simply saying that we must understand that there's fragments, but from a child they've known the Scriptures. And they gave everything to the Lord. They have put in the nursery as little bitty. I just stick my head in the nursery every time I come here and thank the ladies. I saw one of your little grandchildren, little bitty thing, little fat cheek thing, put in the nursery. Some of y'all in here, you little Baptist brats, little crumb crunches, y'all been in church since you breathed, man, and they slapped you on the rear end and stuck you in the nursery. And you've been here ever since. God, I wish I could have had that opportunity. You gave your whole lunch to the Lord. And we that are preachers, we want you to give your entire life to him. I'm simply saying they've watched the hand of God in their churches and the power of God through the years in their churches and with their family and the miracles of God that God wrought in their churches. God help you when you go off the reservation after experiencing all of that. God help you. You have a lot to answer for, my friend. What a privilege and honor it is to be raised in a Christian home, to go to a Christian school, and to be a member of a fundamental, independent, temperamental Baptist church. God help us if you're getting on the internet and hearing all the negativity about some of this. God help you. You need to get a life is what you need to do. I am a fundamental Big B Baptist, and I don't make any apologize for it. There's power in purity, and the greatest testimony is not from a life of saved out of sin, but one who never tasted alcohol, never put a cigarette to his lip, never did dope, never got into immorality. They never went into Moab, Egypt, or Babylon. That's what we want for you. But I think of those that are fragments and gave the leftovers to God. Those that are here that were saved later in life, like some of us. Many years of their life were lived in sin until they received the Lord as their Savior. In reality, they gave the Lord their leftovers. Their prime years of being a teenager and young adult was wasted in riotous living. That word prodigal means that, wasted. But God, in his mercy and grace, saved us out of that pit that we have dug for ourselves. 20 years old, a hellraiser out of Louisiana sat on this side of the auditorium and heard the man preach Amos 3:3, can two walk together except to be agreed? And the Holy Ghost of God convicted me of my sin, and I came to him in repentance and faith and trusted him. And what I've found that sometimes the leftovers are the best. In God's mercy and grace, he saved us out of that pit. And what I've found out is sometimes the leftovers are better than the original meal. And what I'm saying is that there's some that just, they're too apathetic. Some of our Christians that gave their whole life to God Almighty, sometimes they're so apathetic, almost believing that God owes them something because they lived right. Those that been forgiven much, loves much. I mean, we need to understand that brokenness is a connotation of fragmentation. It takes time to put all those pieces back together. Young people, don't you ever believe anybody that believes that will say that God saved some of us later in life, and we're doing just fine. Our thoughts and our memories haunt us many times. Dr. Seitler, Dr. Harold Seitler said that although God demands a whole heart in a believer's life, he'll take and accept a broken one as long as he gets all the pieces. The Lord said, gather the fragments that remain that nothing shall be lost. I've seen God use fragments at times more than some of those that gave their whole life because of apathy. Brethren, if I could grab you and shake you, we have such an apathetic fundamentalism today that some of our children need to get on fire for God. There was a day when we got saved, all of us got right with God. There was a fire that absolutely burnt in our bosom, and we had to get something done for God. We had wasted 20 years of our life. We weren't going to waste one more day, not one more day. Would God we could grab some of the young people and shake them and say, bless God, there's a whole nation going to hell. Somebody's going to have to rise up and do something. Sometimes the leftovers are better. I've known fragments. I know a fragment that was a bouncer and a hellraiser. God saved him. Now he's a famed evangelist with a paper. Gave the leftovers, lived in sin for a long time, and then gave the leftovers after God saved him. I think of the man that trained him, a fragment, a gambler, a football Hall of Famer, a drunk. 100 years ago in Texas, and met this man, looked like him, big gray head, looked like a southern gentleman, and inside his home he had Texas A&M, and I said, did you go to school with, and I named this evangelist, and he said, yes. I said, he's been an evangelist for this many years. He cursed. He said, you're a liar. I said, sir, this man has been an evangelist for 55 years or whatever. He said, you're a blankety-blank liar. He said, there ain't no way. That man was wicked as, he just went on and on. Are y'all with me now? So the man's testimony to the world is that guy was nothing but a filthy, no good for nothing, gambling, drunk. But yet he's been the great evangelist that traveled this country and trained a lot of preacher boys. Fragment is what I'm trying to say. Where's the fragments? There's fragments all over Bourbonnais. There's fragments all over Elgin. There's fragments all over your town. You need to go gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I'm thinking about a fragment that was a rebellious teenager that ended up in a boy's home, living in sin until he got converted. And now God is using him all over the country to encourage preachers and Bible college students. Fragment being used. Are you with me now? Sometimes the leftovers are the best because we understand that those that are forgiven much love much. I'm thinking about a fragment that I was called to preach under, who was a street hoodlum, who had a 1955-56 Chevrolet and had glass packs on it. He used to tell me, he said, I had four on the floor and a fifth under the seat. And he said he used to rev that motor up and he'd let off the gas going down the block and those glass packs just brrr. He said, the whole neighborhood hated me and then I got converted. Yeah. Are you with me now? Fragments. So many fragments I could name, and of course you can too. You're thinking about them now. But Jesus said, gather the fragments that remain that nothing should be lost. I think we've gotten away from that, Brother Cora. We've gotten away from the soul winning and evangelism. It's not in the four walls of this place, Brother Angel. It's out there is where we need to go. And we need to feed the polywogs. We need to feed the church of God. We need to help them with their families and all of it. But it's outside the walls, not inside the walls. We got to go get the fragments that remain, that none be lost. We need to understand that. So all of us fragments. We've been gathering other fragments that none should be lost. And that's the thing about a fragment. He'll go find another fragment. And we've been doing that now for all of these years. Too many fragments that I have led to the Lord down through the years. Sometimes we look down our nose at some of those. For all of these years in our fundamental churches, we've been screaming at you, don't go to Egypt, don't go to Moab, don't go to Babylon. But now what we're doing, Brother Smith, is we're going, would you come home? They're coming home from Babylon. They're coming pierced out and tattooed up and everything else. Well, that's okay. You can't look down your stinking Pharisaical nose. Won't you look at them as fragments, and they can get in and may do better than you? Fragments need to start gathering fragments. In our fundamental independent Baptist church, we're not careful. We're going to become Pharisees if we're not careful. And every soul winning church is going to have a lot of strange bug. The gospel light always attracts a lot of strange bug. When I fish, I mean, look on the platform, you can tell. But anyway, when I fish commercially, I used to fish shrimp. And man, you get thrown out there. Brother Way, I saw Brother Way somewhere. Where you at, son? Where you at? There you go. Down in your part of the country, I fished all down up in there, and I'd throw out those big nets and gather up. Man, when you're shrimping like that, you catch everything. You can't be selective. You know, you guys in selective evangelism, can't be selective. You throw the gospel net out, you're going to catch a lot of strange. We get the pollywogs, and we get, you know, shrimp, and we'd get the crabs, and we'd feed the seagull the pollywogs. You can't be selective. And so the gospel net will catch a lot of strange bugs. If you ain't got somebody in your church twitching or doing something, man, you ain't winning souls, man. Somebody somewhere going to be. Brother Angel told me a story one time when he read the King James Bible, and he said, if your Bible don't read like that, shut it. And he said, some guy here, some halfway said, mine don't read like that. It's too good. Church is too much fun, bro. I've been out of the world for 20 years. I've had more fun in the years I've been saved than ever out there in the world. Fragments, we're gathering the fragments. There at Northwest, all of those years, 40 years, 52,000 fragments came down the aisle. Isn't it amazing? Brother Kavanaugh, I saw him here somewhere. Brother Kavanaugh, where you at, man? Over here. Isn't it amazing? I had 52 this past Sunday, fragments that walked the aisle. And for 40 years, we had 52, over 50,000 walk the aisle, and half of those being baptized. Are y'all with me? Still going. You know why? Because those folks are taught to reach the fragments that remain, that none be lost. Amen. Then my man that took my place, he still has that same philosophy. It's a crying shame that our fundamental independent Baptist church is, when a preacher decides to retire, that it crashes and burns instead of continues to go up. We got to learn from this, my brethren. Somewhere, somehow, we need to learn how to make the transition to the point where the church will continue to do great and not crash and burn. Some preachers overstay their welcome. They get too old. They can't handle it. They lose their energy. They lose everything they have. And then they begin to lose their attendance. And then they ask somebody to come resurrect. Hard to resurrect dead Baptists. That's true. But we need to continue to go up. And the only way you're going to do that is gather fragment. I preach, and you know this, we preach all over, and we teach these young preachers. I'm trying to tell you, do you really believe folks are going to come hear you preach, son? You got to get out there where the fragments are. Get out there and knock doors and wear that shoe leather out and get some fragments. I'm thinking of some of the Bible characters that were only fragments. God used mightily. If there's any New Testament example, it's Apostle Paul. Think about that guy, what he did. Killing Christians, basically. And yet gave us 13 books of the New Testament. Think about that for a minute. I'm simply saying that that's the whole deal. I'm through tonight. I just want to give you that thought, just that we got to gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Every time you look at a soul, you need to understand they're either going to heaven or hell. And if you can't live in that burdensome, you got a problem as a Christian. We travel down because we travel. We've got to witness everybody we do. Kim and I, we nail everybody down that we see. Tracks, and try to nail them down with the gospel. I'm thinking, I've read a book on David Livingston, and the guy was amazing. Of course, a missionary, explorer, map of maker in Africa. I've been there 6 times. I love the place. I'd move there if they'd let me to. But his mauled by a lion. His left arm was mauled by a lion. And then he had some other things, and it was deformed, and he couldn't even shoot a gun. He had to shoot it with one hand. He was not the total man that he was. He was a fragment of a man. Had typhoid, sickly, gone from his wife and his children for 5 years. Had a baby that he'd never held in 5 years. Would always tell his wife, don't come, it's too dangerous here. She finally disobeyed him and came anyway. She wanted to see her husband and wanted her husband to see the newborn and all the rest of the children. And she finally came, and she ended up dying at 41 of malaria, buried under a baobab tree. I was there recently, and we did, Dr. Kevin Wynn and his wife and Kim, and we did a whole segment under a baobab tree. Well, some of those baobab trees, the trunk is wider than your platform here, brother. They're monstrous trees, baobab trees. They buried her under a baobab tree. He pressed on his missionary endeavors. He died on his knees. Y'all know the story. Most of you died on his knees next to his cot. He had some black brothers that were with him on the expedition. They knew he was an important man because he got all this stuff from England. He'd read it to them, and so they called him a big man, which meant he was very important. So when he died, they said, we can't bury him here in the Bushveld of Africa by this lake. We got to take him back for an honorable burial. They gutted him, took all of his entrails out, buried his heart under a mulva tree. Packed him with salt, wrapped him in sailcloth, put him on some staves. Oh, y'all listen to me now. I'm talking about a fragment of man that was using great by God, and then had a bunch of fragments that he had influenced, and now they're packing him out. Listen carefully now. 1,000 miles through the Bush Veil. You know what that is? That's like from here down to South Louisiana, down where Brother Way's at. About 1,000 miles. Am I about right, preacher? About 1,000 miles. That's not interstate, that's jungle. Took them 8 or 9 months to get that man there. That's how much honor they honored him. Packed him in salt so he would not deteriorate. They finally got him on a ship and sent him back to England for an honorable burial. Interesting story if you read that. But when I began to read and think about him, he was not but a fragment of a man. And yet God used him in a great way. Could I help y'all with something, please, tonight, and I'm done? When you leave this place, do you understand that everybody you come in contact with, in most cases, are a fragment? Very few folks I've ever run across now, when I talk to them, they can say, man, listen, I've been in church since I was a child. I got saved early in life. Do you understand the great privilege that we have in our churches to hear the gospel? I'm looking around here at some of our kids that grew up in a church that are now working on staff at other churches. And man, I remember when they're this big, I married some of their parents, and they served God every day of their life. I mean, they came to the nursery and got saved early in life and surrendered to God and never went out into the world. And God has used them in a great way. Boy, and we want that, preacher. I take that versus a fragment, but boy, don't forget the fragments. They're everywhere. There's more of those. There's more fragments out there than those with a whole lung. Let's make sure we stay after the fragments. That's what made us. That's what made some of the biggest and greatest churches in the United States of America fragments. All of us were out the fragments. Everybody knocking doors, winning souls, preaching the gospel, preaching the stinking house down, and people would come and say, we want some of that. Let's keep that going in our movement. Father, help us tonight, this simple message, Lord. Dear Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would always be conscious of the fragments. Oh, God, please help us. The fragments that remain, that none should be lost. That boy went back home with more than what he came with. And our churches will have more if we just go out after the fragments that remain. Bless the remainder of the service tonight, we ask in Jesus' precious name. And amen.
Amen. I apologize that we started with a little devotional tonight and didn't have real preaching. No, that's exactly what we needed. If you caught it, at the very end of the message is the statement, that's what made us. That's what made us. And he's absolutely right. That's what made us. Then we started getting influenced by this crowd that was marketing the gospel. Marketing. What do you like about, what are you not trying to reach a certain clientele? People with money, people with houses and manicured lawns, and nothing wrong with reaching those people. But what made us was going after the fragments. And I don't know that there's anything more exciting than to see a fragment get saved and God start putting their life back together. And we're in this program, and I've had the privilege to pray with one every day and see the transformation taking part. Just see it. It's unreal. Because our God still lives. Outstanding, Brother Gomez. Thank you for ringing that bell tonight. We needed to hear that. I appreciate it very, very much. All right, I want to have our ushers be sure to grab the packets real quickly, fellas. We're going to get in place and get at your station. We want to be sure and give a packet to every visiting full-time ministry tonight. A minister, if you are a pastor, evangelist, assistant pastor, Christian education, whatever, missionary, we want you to get a packet for Brother Coral's ministry. There are other pieces of literature in there that will be of information and help for you. And our men have those, so they're getting in place now. And fellas, you come. Here's what I want to do. If you are in full-time service, one way or the other, would you...